Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Proverbs 1, as you're turning there, I want to tell you about a time that I was mounting a TV on a wall at my workplace. So, got the TV, there are these mounts that you put on the wall first. And so I measured up and down. I'm like, this is where it needs to be. I measured left and right, and I'm like, all right, I want it right here in this area. This is where it's going to be. So the only thing I really needed to do was find a stud. So I brought a stud finder from home. What I didn't do is make sure that it had batteries. So that didn't work out. So I'm wondering, what am I do? I go around to the different departments at my work. I'm like, hey, you got a AA battery? No. Why does nobody have AA batteries at work? I don't know. So I'm like, okay, well, I could go get petty cash, run to Drug Mart, get it, and come back. You know what? I'm too lazy. I'm going to say I'm just in too big of a hurry, but too lazy to do that. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to do it like the people in the olden days and just knock on the wall and try to find the stud. So I'm knocking on the wall, up and down the drywall, and I'm like, kind of hear a change in the knocking right here. So let me try right here. So I just take a screw and a drill and put it in there. Nothing. Maybe I missed it a little bit. Let me go on each side of that. Nothing. Nothing. Okay. Missed that spot. It didn't have the right spot. Knock again, right? And I'm over here a little bit more. And so I'm like, okay, this sounds good. Nothing. 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 I'm like, what in the world? And so I'm like, okay, there's an outlet. I know that outlet box has to be attached to a stud on this side or this side of it. So I'm like, all right, the outlet box is probably like this big, and so the stud's probably here. You know, I just go up, drill, nothing. Drill, nothing. Drill, nothing. Drill, nothing. Drill, nothing. Drill, nothing. I'm like, what in the world? Okay, well, I'm a smart guy, all right? I know that these studs should be 16 inches on center, right? Eventually, I'm going to find it. Drill, 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 drill. Nothing. What in the world? I'm smart again. Hammer. Nothing. What is going on? So, what do? I went to Drug Mart, got some batteries, got the stud finder. Sure enough, put the stud finder on the wall. Beep, 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 right there. Right, the first place that I started, I just missed it on either side. So, I nail it. I'm like, all right, stud, phew. But then I'm looking at the wall. It looked like somebody took an automatic rifle, machine gun, and just blew holes in the wall. But guess what? I'm smart. The TV's gonna hide it. Right? The TV is big enough to hide it. Mount it, put it on there. Nobody was the wiser, right? You couldn't even tell after I mounted that wall. Here's the thing. I made a complete mess of the situation because of one thing. I thought I could figure it out on my own. This is the place that launches some of the biggest regrets I think that we have in our lives from. You know, I can figure it out on my own. Some of the biggest places of pain come from here. Come from the thought that I thought I could figure it out. I thought I could handle it. Some of us might be facing addiction right now, right? I can handle it. I can make the right decisions. I can get it and get it taken care of this time. Some of us might have great financial debt because I thought I knew what I was doing. I thought I was making good decisions and wise money choices. Some of us may find ourselves in bad relationships because I thought I could follow my heart and trust that. These are the type of situations and or why the book of Proverbs was written. It was written because we don't always know what we're doing. We can't always trust our heart, and we can't always figure it out, right? Especially today. I hype on this a lot, and I bring these things up, but you must understand that the times that we live in. You must understand the culture that we live in. This culture that says all truth is relative. This culture that says you have a truth, and I have a truth, and they can be different. I've literally heard 2 + 2 does not always equal 4, right? And somebody older like me, it just confounds me. But that is the belief system that our kids are being raised in. You have a truth, I have a truth, every person has a truth, and you have to expect that truth. And it reminds me of that passage that we hit earlier this year, Judges 21:25, that said, in those days, Israel had no king, and everybody did as they saw fit, right? That is the age that we live in today. That's a scary place to live. I saw a video about a month ago of a woman who was on all fours, what seemed to be like outside maybe of a grocery store, and she was identifying as a dog. And she started to kind of bounce up and down on all four legs and was barking at another dog, a real dog, that was right next to her. And that real dog bit her. That's sad. That's sad that this person does not know who God created her to be. That is sad because this person has listened to the enemy, has listened to our culture that says that that's good, that that's right. It's not, and she's missing out on who God created her to be. We live in a time when reality is just gone, and it all started with that weird math that was taught in school. I just believe it did. That was a joke. But if there was ever a time where our world needed wisdom, it is now. And that's why I'm excited to look at the book of Proverbs. We're going to be in it for the next 3 sermons, so I can't wait to get into some things. Proverbs is a part of the wisdom literature of the Bible. It teaches us how we should live. It's filled with a lot of concise, wise sayings. And it was written primarily by an older man that was writing to young people. And he wanted to pass on the things that he had learned through life to these young people so that they could live wisely. And in order to understand this book, you have to understand one very important thing. That is, Proverbs is filled with principles and not promises. If I had my Bible with me, my hard copy, I would write that at the beginning of Proverbs, right on there. Proverbs is filled with principles and not promises. You see, a biblical promise is something that God says, and it will happen all the time. A biblical principle is something that we're taught that will happen most of the time, but not necessarily all the time. It's not guaranteed. It's not promised. So Proverbs is like a father telling his kid some wise piece of advice. Measure twice, cut once. Have you ever heard that? Right? That's something wise that most of the time is true. Not always. Sometimes you do measure twice and you have to cut twice. But that's how you have to understand what's in here. Let me give you an example. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. This is a principle because if you do fear the Lord, it's going to affect the choices that you make. You're going to make better choices that don't put you in harm's way, that don't put you in sketchy situations. You're going to do things that follow the law. Whereas a wicked person, they're going to do things that are the exact opposite. They're going to put themselves in sketchy places that could result in their death. So the person who fears the Lord should live longer. The wicked person should not live longer in most circumstances. But we all know that sometimes good people die way too young. And sometimes wicked people seem like they live forever. So you have to think about this as advice that a dad is passing on to two kids, right? Listen, son, listen, daughter, you make your path straight, you do this, and this is going to be what happens. Yeah, most of the time that's going to be, but not always. Proverbs is an oversimplification of life, but that's the gift of Proverbs, because in an increasingly overwhelmingly complex world, that simplicity is a breath of fresh air, right? It provides direction, and that's why it's so important, especially for young people. It also tends to work better on young people. Do you know why? Because as we grow older, many of us begin to think that we know it all, and we don't want to listen to correction or advice. We can become set in our ways the older we get. We can become a bit foolish in that regard. Let's get into it. Proverbs 1, beginning at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight. So this is a book that will help us gain wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is different than knowledge, right? We all understand that. Knowledge is about having information, but wisdom is how to apply that information in a way that benefits people, yourself. Right, we have a ton of knowledge that is available to us at our fingertips, but we don't know always how to use it, how to apply it. That's why anxiety is going up. That's why stress is increasing. That's why depression is on the rise. With all this increase in knowledge, we would think those things would be going down, but we just have more, and we don't know what to do with it. We don't know how to apply it. Proverbs can help us with that. Verses 3 through 6, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, right? You don't have to be an elite person mentally to gain from this. Knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. To simplify these verses, I think we could say this is about gaining wisdom, receiving instruction, and adding learning. Think about those three words: gaining, receiving, adding. You cannot gain if you already have it all. We cannot receive if we're not lacking. We cannot add if we're already full. That is why people miss out on the wisdom of Proverbs. Because you can become a person who thinks you're wise, who thinks you know it all. I don't think any of us would ever say that, right? None of us would pretend that we are that. But we have a tendency to act like it. If somebody offers correction to us, are we quick to take it? Do we like to take it? Do we appreciate that? No, we don't receive it well. Not unless we're humble. And that's the key word that I want us to think about. So it's important to understand that wisdom starts with a posture of humility. We have to submit ourselves to this book and allow it to change us. We must realize that we need to learn and grow, right? There is room to grow in my life. Look at the people that Solomon wrote this for: the simple, the young, the wise, and the discerning. All four of these people will benefit from this book. All four of these people know one thing. They know that they don't know it all. That's what they know. Right? So if you approach the book in this way, it will help you become wise. If you don't, it can't help you. If you're going to stay a fool or be foolish in that regard, it can't help you. Why? Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. How do you handle wisdom and instruction? That's a question that you need to wrestle with. Don't tell me what to do. I already know all that. The only person who has no need for Proverbs is the person who thinks they have no need for Proverbs. and they're fools. How do you know if you're a fool? Let me ask you this question. When is the last time you said these words? Hey, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? When's the last time you said that? When's the last time you said that to your spouse? When's the last time you said that to your kids? You might go a long period of time and not have a need to say that, but can you even say those words? Have you said those words? Are they common? Because I don't know about you, but I'm messing up in my marriage often. I'm messing up with raising my kids often. I have plenty of opportunities to use those words. What about you? If you don't make any mistakes, you'd never need them. But who's never making any mistakes? Are we fools to think that we're not? Do you say those words? How often do you say those words? Right? How about this question or this statement? Lord, I need your wisdom. Lord, I need it. Will you give me that? James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I've told you this before. There are so many times that I'm trying to do a sermon and trying to do it on my own, and I'm failing, and I'm like, what am I going to do? What am I going to talk about? And then I remember, oh, yeah, ask God. And he gives me that wisdom every single time. Do you ask for it? Because a fool, a person who thinks they're wise, a person who thinks they don't need anything from God, will never ask him for that. So is that a part of your vocabulary? Lord, I am struggling with this thing right here. Will you give me wisdom? Will you help me overcome it? Right? I think all of us kind of fall in these camps at times where we just have to understand that we're prideful. We're prideful at times. Pride is what prevents us from gaining wisdom, though. Worse than that, Proverbs 16:5 says this, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. So, wisdom starts with a posture of humility. Right? And I go back to the first part of verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In our time, there are a lot of places that we can get knowledge. The internet has a crazy amount. And right now, we're experiencing something called AI, right? Artificial intelligence. I use it regularly. I know a lot of people who use it regularly. Yesterday, I couldn't figure out how to load a blade in my utility knife that I had. So I snapped a picture of the utility knife and I asked Gemini, hey, can you tell me how I can load this blade in here? And it walked me through step by step and perfectly. Like I spent 15 minutes trying to figure that out on my own and I just couldn't figure it out. And here it gave it to me in 2 seconds. It told me the steps. Knowledge is increasing, but what kind of knowledge are we getting? Right? I would never use AI to write a sermon. I heard it does a good job, but I'd never use it because it's in that process where I'm dependent on God, trusting him and being led by him, and I don't know what is behind AI and what things are factored into that. A lot of knowledge available to us. A lot more anxiety and stress and depression, though, too. How are we using it? That's the question. We don't want to use that knowledge wrongly. Solomon tells us the key. You heard it, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That has to be where we start from. What does Solomon mean that we should fear God, right? After all, we've grown up hearing that God is love. Why should we fear him? Well, that word can be translated as awe. We need to have an awe of the Lord. That happens as you read the Bible. I think you become in awe of him. You get a better sense of who he is, and he's just amazing, right? Your reverence will hopefully grow from that as you read that. It will grow of Jesus. Colossians 1, 15 through 17 says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus is the one that everything was created through, right? Do you know how many atoms are in the average body? That many. That's a 7 with 27 zeros after it. 7 octillion. That's how many atoms are in your body that Jesus is holding together right now. Right now, we're on a planet that's spinning 1,000 miles an hour. Not only are we spinning 1,000 miles an hour, we are rotating around the sun at 67,000 miles an hour. Not only are we spinning at 1,000 miles, rotating around the sun at 67,000 miles, but our galaxy is going through the universe at 490,000 miles an hour. And we don't even feel it, right? I get on a spinny ride at a carnival, and I almost throw up every time nowadays. We don't even feel that. How wise must Jesus be? Must the God of the universe be? They say we're in the Goldilocks distance of our solar system, the Earth is. Because if we were just a hair closer, water would boil. And if we were a hair further away, water would freeze, and all life would end. Our axis, I think it's 23.5. I could be mistaken. If it was 1 degree off, it would cause catastrophic trouble for our Earth. How wise is our Lord? How much wisdom does he have? 1 Corinthians 1:30 tells us that Jesus Christ has become the wisdom of God personified. The wisdom of God takes human form in the person of Jesus. And yet, we act like we know better than him. We would never say that, right? But we sure act that way. We believe we know more about relationships and who we should date and how we should date, right? We believe that we know better how we should spend our money than what his word says, don't we? We think we know better how we should treat people than what the word tells us. You want me to forgive that person? No. No, I'm going to stay right here in this area and hold on to this. Who in the world do we think we are? This is how we approach the God who created the universe, who spoke a billion stars. Can you contemplate that? A billion stars into existence. Let me remind us, right? There is really only one way to approach him, and that is to fall down on our faces before him, to throw our crowns down at his feet and cry, holy, holy, holy. That is how we should approach him. It's to fall down and say, who am I but a man of unclean lips? That's what it looks like to fear the Lord. And that is where the beginning of knowledge and wisdom comes from. Anything less is foolishness. Anything less, and we will not receive that. And my friends, most of us, including myself, are often in a place of foolishness where we think we know better. It's absolutely foolishness to read the Bible and pick and choose what belongs to us, what applies to us, and what doesn't. Absolute idiocracy. I don't even know if that's a word. We're going to use it. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Listen, James, we live in the New Testament, though. That's the Old Testament. We don't have to fear God today. I love the account of Jesus when he healed the paralyzed man. Do you remember that? His friends bust through the roof, rip apart the roof, and lower him down to Jesus. And Jesus forgives the man's sins and then heals him. And do you remember how the crowd responded? Matthew 9:8, when the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe and they praised God who had given such authority to man. Do you remember the last time you were filled with awe? I remember when my kids were born. That was a time where I was filled with awe, right? These people witnessed a man being healed. Who is this person that is able to forgive sins and heal? The ESV translates it, I think, better because it says they were not in awe, they were afraid. The Greek word for fear or awe is the one that we get our word phobia from, right? There was a fear in that room, a fear and an awe at the power and the person of Jesus Christ. Another passage, Jesus walks on water in a storm and his disciples see him. Matthew 14:26 says this, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. He gets in the boat and immediately the sea is calm. Matthew 14:33 says, then those who were in the boat worshiped him saying, truly you are the Son of God. Can you imagine that? Could you imagine witnessing that? Could you imagine witnessing that and not immediately bowing down before him? Who is this person? He must be the Son of God. Could you imagine standing in the presence of Jesus? Could you imagine sitting while we worship him? Could you imagine holding back your praise for him? Could you imagine reading the Word of God and thinking we know better? What fools we are. Let me ask you this. How different would we act if Jesus came over to our home? Would our language change? Would our tone change? Would how we treat our wife or our husband in front of Jesus change? Would how we treat our kids change? Would what we watch on TV change? Would what we listen to on the radio or music change? How differently would we act? Here's the truth. He is with us, right? Matthew 20:20, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The Holy Spirit dwells with us. I think we can measure how much we actually fear him by the difference between how we would act if he was physically present or spiritually present. The less we fear him, the bigger that difference is going to be. You struggle with your words? Invite him over. Invite him into your presence. And see what difference that makes, right? How different do we talk and hear on a Sunday compared to Monday at work? The bigger that difference, the less we truly fear him. Right? That's a great gauge that I think all of us can look at. The lack of fear, the wider that gap, is what's preventing us from experiencing wisdom. It's what's preventing us from growing. You remember my TV story? One day we decided to paint the office. I forgot about the wall. We took the TV down. Oh, and there it was. And they were like, what in the world happened here? Oh, yeah, that was me. Here's the thing, my friends. The stuff we're hiding is going to come out. We can act in here one way, but I'm going to go and live my life with my wife and my kids, and they're going to see it if I'm hiding it. I'm not going to be able to hide it from them. Or maybe I will be able to hide it for them, but it's just going to be a short amount of time. Living a double life is pure frustration. Why not go all in? That's what I want you to contemplate today. Why not go all in? Why not believe that God really is God and that he knows better for you and you're going to trust him with what he tells you over what you think or what you reason or what you rationalize? Why not go in and just say, you know what? I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to make it my life's goal to learn your ways. I'm going to make it my life's goal to surrender every area of my life until you control it all, till all of it is aligned with you. Why not surrender everything, including that thing that you don't want to, the thing that you want to hold on to? You know it's wrong. You know it doesn't align with God's word, but I'm going to hold on to it. Why not surrender it? Because it's going to keep you from experiencing his wisdom and his growth. Why not start today? Why not today throw your crown down at his feet and fall on your face before him and ask him to put a fear of him in your life, in your heart, right? Why not quit thinking that you can handle it? Why not quit trying to handle it? That works for a season, but then the next season comes and you realize I can't handle it. Why not take the posture of I am a fool, right? Why not take the posture that I am a wretch? That's the posture you grow from. I know you can look at somebody else in here or somebody else out there, and you can say, I'm not as bad as them, and you can feel a lot better about yourself. But do you remember the story of when Jesus came over to Levi's house? Comes over, right, and who joins him? A bunch of prostitutes and tax collectors. And the religious people, the religious leaders, look at him. Look at what's going on. Look at who he's eating with them. And they ask his disciples, why would he eat with them? And do you remember what Jesus told him? Matthew 9:12. It's not the healthy who need a doctor. It's the sick. Scripture repeatedly shows us the ones who receive salvation are the ones who know they need saving. We're wretches. At least I am. The only hope I have is if that's real. The only people who become wise are people who admit they're fools. Don't be a prideful fool and miss it. Don't be a Pharisee, right? Take a posture of humility. Fear him. Hold him in awe and reverence and really seek his knowledge and wisdom and surrender your life to it. That's the only way you'll find it. Stand with me. Listen to what Solomon says in chapter 2. Listen to what could be your future. Could be if you take this posture. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you. How do you get its commands within you? You got to read and be in the word, right? You got to store them. You got to memorize them. You got to internalize them. Turning your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure, you got to search for it. You got to go after it. It's not just going to happen by osmosis. It's not just going to happen by coming to church one time a week. You got to go after it. You got to search for it. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Then, if only then. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. That's what's available. Then you will understand what is right and just. Do you want to understand what's right and fair? Man, don't you wish everybody knew what was right and just and fair and practiced that? Don't you wish your boss did? For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. That's what's available. But you gotta want it. You gotta go after it. You gotta have the right posture to receive that. And that is a posture on your face. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I pray that maybe somebody in here today would say, I'm gonna take that posture. I'm gonna fall down before you. I'm gonna search for your wisdom. I'm gonna ask you to direct my path. I'm gonna ask you to put the fear of you inside of me so that when I read something, I do not have the audacity to think that I know better than you. Father, I pray that somebody is gonna make a vow to do that, to arrange their life around you, to surrender every area, every place to it. And I pray that you fill them full of your Holy Spirit. I pray that you sanctify them, that you set them apart, and that you fill their hearts with wisdom. Use them. Father, let us all be that person this today. Father, we love you and we give you all praise and all honor. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.